TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves, the Raised by Wolves podcast.
All right, we're back for another edition of Raised by Wolves. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for listening. I'm Manny Hill. Derek James is here. And we got a few things to get into. We got a little bit of fun coming up later on in this edition.
We're just
going
to disregard everything that happens in this taping. And then Jimmy Butler's going to get traded right after. And then we're going to retape. Right. And then we'll get into all those fun things that Manny was telling about before I interrupted.
Yeah, Kyle Radke's going to join us a little bit later on. He's going to quiz us on some Timberwolves-related things, little fun nuggets, and Derek and I are going to try and outdo each other and see who is the smarter Timberwolves person in terms of who knows more about the team. And
see, I got the belt right now because I somehow edged Manny last time.
Yes.
It was like the We Believe Warriors or the 11 Mavericks.
But let's get into some more bigger news surrounding the team right now. A tweet from Mark Stein on the night of October 3rd, or last night, depending on, you know, when you're listening to this. The Wolves and Heat were making significant progress on a Jimmy Butler trade this week. This is Stein's tweet. League sources say before deal changes proposed by Minnesota led to a breakdown in talks.
In other words, they probably asked for Bam in addition to Richardson and as much as they could possibly.
And like three first-round picks. And
yeah.
Stein then goes on to say, deal specifics are not yet known, but the Wolves and Heat, I'm told, have been discussing a trade without the involvement of a third team. Because obviously there were rumors saying that the Kings were going to try and get involved because the Kings have cap space and they could maybe absorb like Gorgie Jang's contract and things like that. If they could get like another sweetener, like a first round pick or something attached to it, they'd be willing to absorb that kind of money.
Despite having 1,000 big men on their roster.
Right. Gorgie Jang starting small forward for the Sacramento Kings.
I think he'd be a shooting guard at this point.
And then Stein goes on to say, as New York Times Sports reported last week, Wolves ownership has been notified that Miami is Jimmy Butler's preferred destination, which is significant given that Butler becomes a free agent July 1st. And it's an interesting situation because if Miami wants Jimmy Butler, they're going to have to trade for him because they're not going to have, unless they can pull off some sort of a miracle over the course of the season, they're not going to have any cap space to sign him next summer.
That's what really gets me. I was responding to John Krasinski's tweet that. And I also brought that up. And it's like, they can't, that's the one team where they have the most leverage with and where they can afford to play hardball with to an extent. So, yeah, even though Jimmy could just walk for nothing and the Heat could, you know, the Heat can't just go out and sign them like you just said.
Right.
So and there's definitely some incentive for the Wolves to hold Riley's feet to the fire here a little bit.
Yeah, I think my thing, though, is to what extent, you know, and I understand, you know, there's negotiating tactics and all this other stuff. But my thing is, how long, if you're Tom Thibodeau and Scott Layden, how long do you want this thing to drag on? I mean, the season starts in less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So how long do you want this to drag on? And if you're Tom Thibodeau, are you still trying to convince Jimmy to want to stay?
Well, here's the thing, too.
Because I don't think you can do that.
No, I don't. I think Jimmy doesn't seem like the kind of guy who just changes his mind, you know, on a whim. And when Jimmy says, no, I'm over this, just being around him a little bit, I just kind of get the sense that that's who he is. Like, once he makes up his mind, like, that's what he's just going to do. And it came out yesterday, I think, again, from Woj that Jimmy wouldn't sit out. It could have been Woj or Mark Stein where he wouldn't sit out the regular season as long as his wrist was healthy. Now, which sounds great because, you know, like, oh, well, maybe, you know, the Wolves have a little more leverage there because there won't be a holdout. But then you're playing Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler gets hurt and you know he's going to leave, you're in a really bad spot because that's really going to ding his trade value significantly.
Yeah. I mean, I just, to me, I just feel like at this point, you can't really bring Jimmy back. I mean, you could go into the season and he's not a part of the team. Like, he's still technically on the roster, but he's not with the team. You could do that. But, like, I look at it like this. Whatever you're going to get for Jimmy Butler, to me, I feel like the sooner you can get those pieces in, the better. Like, if you're going to trade him to Miami and you're going to get, you know, Goran Dragic or Josh Richardson or, you know, Hassan Whiteside, okay, you want to get those guys in sooner rather than later so that they can be, you know, so that you have more time for them to gel with the rest of the roster.
Especially if you're talking about starters and guys who are going to play significant minutes. You want to get everyone on the same page, you know, and into the system and familiarized by the time. Because opening night is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, it's October 17th. You're at San Antonio to start the year.
We're on October 4th right now.
Right, as of this taping. I don't know. And then you hear like Houston is trying to get involved, and it's just like outside of Chris Paul and James Harden and Clint Capella, like who do the Rockets have that, you know, what, Eric Gordon? I mean.
But would you be satisfied trading Jimmy Butler for Eric Gordon?
Yeah.
Ooh, fine player.
Within the conference too. Like that's just. I mean, I'm okay with moving Jimmy Butler within the conference, but I want to get something significant back for him if you're going to do that. You know what I mean?
Because now, I mean, you're looking at a very different team if you're trading Jimmy Butler. Taj Gibson hasn't, I think that, this is Taj's last year on his deal.
Yep.
Jeff Teague has the player option, which I'm guessing will likely be exercised. So you're very quickly going to be a young team once again, and you figure you want pieces that can grow with that core and, you know, also stick around.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this thing sort of plays out. But one thing I wanted to get into, now that we're seeing the situation as it is with Jimmy Butler wanting out and thinking eventually a deal's going to get done, we kind of touched on this on the last pod because somebody asked us the question of, and I don't think it ended up even airing because
probably didn't make the cut because right. Then Jimmy put out his trade request.
Yeah. But the question of going back, looking back now, where, you know, would we still do the Jimmy Butler trade? And what would the team? The question was, would we still do the Jimmy Butler trade? And I guess my answer to that, I guess, would be yeah. But I'm very curious as to what this team would look like if they hadn't done the trade. Like what this team would look like today.
Well, I mean,
if they hadn't done that trade.
First off, is there anybody who saw that trade happen and said, yes, Jimmy Butler will sign an extension for sure and definitely be here forever, forever? No, I don't think so. I think there was always that chance like, hey, he could get here and then
it was a roll
decide
of the
to
dice.
Do something else. Yeah, it was definitely a big gamble and it accomplished what it needed to. I mean, get the team back into the playoffs, add some more wins. It wasn't always perfect or pretty, but it got them into the playoffs. I mean, at minimum. So,
yeah.
I mean, in that sense, yeah, it did work. But I think, looking at this, it would be very... we were looking at this before we started taping. This is probably a 30-win team if you just keep Lauri Markkanen and have him grow with this, have Zach LaVine come back from injury in January-ish and work his way back.
And then you have to wonder, because Chris Dunn made some nice strides in Chicago last year.
But the role was different.
Right, and you wonder if he would have made those same strides here. And also, the other thing I'm curious about is, because, you know, you always have to think about the butterfly effect, right? Like, if this move hadn't been done...
where I think it's going?
Well, I wonder if... You still think Ricky gets traded?
That's what I was going to talk about. Oh, maybe not. So kind
of because Ricky kind of wanted out, right? At that point, wasn't he ready to
it's
be?
It's kind of out by now that Ricky did ask for a trade at the end, and then Tom Thibodeau talked about like, "Hey, this isn't the first player that's ever asked for a trade since I've been here." And right. John Krasinski
which has
reported it
only been 2 years. So
yeah, it's like, so I mean, you put it together, and I mean, yeah, I mean, John flat out said too that Ricky did ask for a trade at the end. So yeah, if he did ask for the trade, and they did honor that. But then, do they sign Jeff Teague, or they do something else, or do they take a different deal for Ricky Rubio, or maybe another younger player?
Because really, the trade, Ricky getting traded, was because Ricky got traded after the Jimmy trade, right? Because Jimmy got traded on draft night. They
yes.
traded for Jimmy on draft night, and Ricky got traded. Yeah, because Ricky was basically, I guess, quote-unquote, a salary. He was a salary dump, basically. They dumped his, what, $14 million off the books, took the draft pick in return. That freed up more cap space for them to go and get Taj and Jeff Teague. And
that's the thing. I don't think they get Taj either. Well, maybe they try to
go I still Taj. Think they go get Taj, yeah. Because I mean, Taj is the next Bulls guy, and Tibbs.
I know Tibbs pursues him for sure, but I mean, does Taj take it? You know, looking at the construct of the team going, yeah, I mean, is this team built to win, or are they still rebuilding? What do I want? I mean, I'm in my 30s. I mean, and he may really, you know, feel strongly for Tom Thibodeau, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I still think Ricky probably gets traded. I don't know if. Is Teague really that? Would Teague have been the guy though that they go after? But then again, it's like they traded Ricky and then they went and got Jeff Teague like right away.
There was a cliff after Teague though in the free agent market.
Yeah.
So I mean, you really would have. I mean, yeah, you would have been probably fine with Tyus, but behind him because Tyus can't play 48 minutes. Though I mean, insert joke there, but. There would definitely be a drop off to the bench if, you know, until I guess Derrick Rose, you know, came in, but I guess that's the answer to that question.
Maybe that would have been it.
Yeah, does Derrick Rose go to Cleveland?
He probably ends up here and he's probably your starting point guard.
Oh yeah. Yeah, forget Tyus. Derrick Rose is the starter.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah. If you don't make the Jimmy Butler trade, they probably still trade Ricky. And then Derrick Rose is brought in. Yeah. Wow. And then I still think Taj gets signed. So you'd be, so last year it would have been, you would have had a starting
five. Does Taj get signed for more money than what he already got?
Probably.
Does he get like 17 just as a little, hey, no, come here. I know we're not going to be the greatest.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking. He probably gets like 17. And then Tiz will say, hey, you know, if it's bad and you hate it, the team's miserable, you know, we'll find a good option for you. I mean, also giving a guy more money. It doesn't make that easier to do, I don't think.
Yeah. So then you would have, so then they probably would have won. So you would have had, what, a starting five of Kat, Taj, Wiggins, LaVine, and Derrick Rose.
That is the worst defense in the league.
Oh, boy.
Lowry Markkanen.
Lowry Markkanen coming off the bench, probably. Probably playing about 12 minutes a night.
That is the worst defense I can imagine. Or pretty close to it.
Yeah, and then you would have had...
No Jamal Crawford, for sure.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford probably doesn't sign here. Yeah, then your bench is...
Probably just
Lauri Markkanen, Gorgui Dieng,
Tyus,
Belly.
That's not good.
It's
really probably eight guys.
Yeah, which is what Tibbs would have wanted was eight guys.
He started playing eight guys in December last year as it was. And I think you go that skinny, even skinnier. Yeah, that's going to be even less.
And then you fast forward to, let's say, I mean, I got to think they probably win, what, 30 to 35 games at the most?
35 would be an amazing season for that team.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, what, the Kings won 27, the Lakers won 35. Is that team better than what the Lakers had last year? I mean, Kat's kind of the best player between those two teams. But as a whole, between coaching and guys in the role, like, I think that Lakers team might be a little better. I feel like that Wolves team wins 32.
The 32.
That's a notch below that Lakers team.
So they probably would have ended up with, what, like the 7th or 8th pick in the draft?
Yeah.
And then probably who would have gone? Who would have?
Knox, Sexton range, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So they probably would have been picking somewhere between 6 and 9 in the draft. Yeah, and they probably would have like a Colin Sexton or, yeah, they probably would have taken Colin Sexton.
They almost would have needed to.
Yeah.
You almost had no backcourt at that point.
No backcourt, no starting point guard, really. Yeah. Wow. It's amazing.
That's something. Well, then, I mean, how would that influence what they do, you know, like this summer? Because they would still obviously have a, you know, decent amount of money to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. I mean, they didn't really make many deals before the Butler. They didn't make any deals before the Butler trade. But would they have taken on some money, you know, to gain more assets? Who knows?
Yeah. Wow, man. You also wonder, the other thing, too, is, I mean, you wonder if they hadn't, well, maybe. I don't know. I was going to say, you also wonder if they would have not, if they would have not kept Tibbs, if Tibbs would have kept his job after 2 years of not making the playoffs. But I think, and
I think he would have.
I think he would have, because I think at that point it would have been more of a, we're trying to let this thing slow cook. We're trying to build something. We're not trying to expedite the process of getting to the playoffs.
See, it's probably warm enough to where he keeps having to adjust the cheek on and off the seat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, yeah, I don't think he gets fired for that, because the Butler deal really ratcheted up the expectations for that team.
Right.
Not just, I mean, yeah, I mean, with that nucleus of, you know, Cat and Wiggins and Levine as it was, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you want to see that group grow, and people were still making that Oklahoma City comparison.
But see, here's the other thing, though. They would have had to pay Wiggins. Still would have been trying to decide to pay Wiggins. They would have had to pay Zach Levine.
Oh, that money's gone then. Yeah, you're right.
That money, that free agent money is gone, because.
And then
Zach and Wiggins would both be starting their new contracts this year.
You can't pay both of those guys.
You probably can't.
I mean, you can, but you shouldn't.
Maybe you could. Well, see, Zach got what, 4 and 80 from the Kings signed to the offer sheet, and the Bulls matched it. So 4 and 80, Wiggins.
$47 million-ish between the two of them.
Yeah. And then Cat, you'd be trying to get Cat. So that would be your core. That would be your big money core, would be those three.
You're pretty much locked into that group, and however good they are, and hope that one of Chris Dunn or Lauri Markkanen turns into this great complimentary piece.
Hmm.
You know, the more we kind of dissect that and look at it from that angle and just think like, hey, you know, you would have no financial flexibility and you'd be locked into Wiggins and Levine at these pretty steep prices.
Yeah, it's almost like when you look at the Jimmy Butler trade, even though the situation is what it is right now, it's almost like, yeah, it was still the right trade to make, which I think we both kind of agreed on anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is you look at the Jimmy trade itself was fine, but you look around at some of the other moves and decisions and, you know, the rotation minutes and all of that stuff, that's where the trouble has come along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, the Wiggins contract is, I mean.
And honestly, the Jimmy Butler deal, and in turn making the playoffs, save Tom Thibodeau's job, right?
Yeah. I mean, I mean you make a deal
one
like
and
that.
One.
Yeah. I mean, you make a deal like that and don't make the playoffs. Yeah. I think, yeah, that if you're not cooked, I mean, your seat is really sizzling, I think. And I know that Doogie has said that maybe Tibbs wouldn't have gotten fired if they hadn't won that game against Denver.
But if they had started
some
like
sort of
3-12 the next season, I think Tibbs would be gone. We've seen Glenn when he gets, you know, a little antsy, he's not really slow to pull that trigger.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing what one move could have done, or what one move, one trade could have meant. Who knows? But it's fun to speculate.
It is.
All right. Let's pause real quick, and we'll get Kyle Radke on the line, and he's going to quiz us. All right. Joining us to quiz us, to test our Timberwolves knowledge and expertise, is our friend Kyle Radke from Timberwolves.com, web editor for Timberwolves.com. First of all, how are you? Good to have you on again.
I think Kyle's now the record holder for most appearances.
I think he might be. Yeah, this might. This is like what, 4 or 5 for you now?
Yeah, this is peak Radke. This is you know, everything 8-year-old Kyle Radke could have dreamed of is being on the radio show with you guys.
We're gonna have
Master Rat Attack Radke.
We're gonna have a big press conference at Mayo Clinic Square, handing you the plaque, and there'll be a great photo opportunity and baby's kiss. It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll just be like a participation award that once somebody got in high school, and we'll frame it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right. So lay it on us. What do you got for us so far?
Okay, so I have 8 questions, and they're not so much on the court related, and they're about 8 current players on the team. Some are easier, some are a little more difficult. I don't know how you guys want to do the scoring system or how you want to do.
I don't remember how we did it last time.
Yeah, how did we do it last time? I don't remember.
I thought we did every other.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, we'll see if you guys think that's fair or not. I guess I can let you guys decide that.
All right, and it's just for bragging rights anyway.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the easier ones, and I'll go down from there.
Perfect.
So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. This player was known for his decision video.
Oh, that's Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah,
Forgot about that one.
That was his first trip back to the Timberwolves, or his first signing with the Timberwolves.
That's right, yeah. That was what, 2011
probably?
2010, 2011?
Would he have done it right after LeBron did it?
Yeah, he did it. I think he said it was the decision part 2.
Okay.
Didn't make as much money as LeBron's did, unfortunately.
Not quite.
All right, Derek. This player, he doesn't tweet often, and when he does, he tweets about one thing, and that's the WWE. He loves the WWE. Who am I talking about?
Jeff Teague?
Yeah. Good job. So we did the shot clock violation. It's a new show. I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but yesterday we were filming and we were looking back at Jeff Teague's tweets, and like 8 of his last 9 tweets dating back to like 2015 have been about the WWE.
Well, I think John Meyer at Media Day actually asked him about some WWE event. I think it was something happened the weekend. They're like, oh, a big weekend or something? And he was like, yeah. Like, he was totally pumped to talk about wrestling.
He's wild. All right, man. This player's mother is a 2-time Olympic gold medalist from the 1984 Olympic Games.
Oh.
I feel like I should know this, but
I think I do.
Oh boy. It's not Wiggins. Because Wiggins is Canadian.
I'll rephrase that. Yeah, 2-time Olympic. Yep.
Oh, maybe is it Andrew Wiggins?
It is, yeah.
Oh, I was okay. Going to steal that from you.
did I say American?
You know what? You didn't say American, but here's the thing, though. The first thing I thought of was basketball, so I thought, like, somebody's mother was on the basketball team, the women's basketball team in 1984.
Yeah,
that might have won the Olympics.
Yeah, she won the 4x100 and 4x400. I knew she was a sprinter, but before today, I did not know that she was a silver medalist, so that is awesome.
Okay, cool.
Derek, this player's favorite show, despite his age, is The Office.
Despite his age, so he's younger. This wouldn't be like Josh Okoji or something, would it? I really.
Yeah, God, you're good. Man, you guys. Okay, I'll stump you guys soon.
Okay.
Probably not with this one, though. This player was college teammates with Swaggy P.
Oh, this is
It's Taj Gibson, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, USC.
You look at the talent on that team, and I forget who the coach of that team was. He coached the Bulls as well.
Oh, Tim Floyd, right? Was that Tim Floyd?
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah.
He was not very good.
He was not very good. No, that's right.
He will not be remembered with P-Jax and Tex Winter and the other Bulls coaching grades.
No. All right, Derek. The Wolves have three players in the top 30 of the 2014 Rivals class. Can you name them?
How many was it?
Three. They have three in the top 30. So out of the graduating class of 2014.
Okay. The Andrew Wiggins?
Year after.
Oh, year after. Okay. I want to look, but I don't want to. So this is the 2014 graduating class or draft class?
It's the graduating class, so the high school class.
Oh, the high school class.
It'd be the rookie class of 2015. Assuming they went straight to the league, they could have stayed in college.
Okay. Towns?
Mm-hmm. He was number four.
Okay. Tyus?
Correct. He was number seven.
Who else? Who else? Who else?
Trying to think too.
Oh, there can't be that many guys.
Is he stumped? Is Derek stumped?
Hold on. Hold on.
You can't be looking it up, Derek.
I know.
He is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's totally looking it up. He cannot look it up, Derek.
All right, I concede.
Manny?
Trying to think of graduating class of 2014. You just thought of it, didn't you, Derek?
I thought of one of another three guys who it could be because I was just thinking of the obvious.
It's not. Kata? Is it Kata based job?
It is.
Okay. Yeah, because
it is.
Yeah, because it just hit me that he was a senior at Ohio State this year. So okay.
Yep. Yep, and it's tricky because, technically, was he a redshirt junior? So he would have been a senior, but yes.
Sure, yeah, okay.
And Jared Sherrill, who is also on the team's roster, I believe was somewhere in between 30 and 40.
See, and I was wondering if it wasn't one of the two-way guys.
Yeah. Yep. So that's kind of a fun one. Just doing draft prep for Kata, it's always kind of cool to see those guys. And it's also kind of insane to think that Tyus and Towns have 3 years of NBA experience before a player's a rookie, even though they're in the same class.
Well, that's like the crazy thing when people are like, oh, Towns, is, you know, he'll never be. It's like he should just be getting out of Kentucky right now.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Crazy.
This one might be a back and forth one. So as we mentioned before, Towns was ranked number four in that class ranking. There was three players obviously named ahead of him. Can you guys name the three players?
Ooh.
I'm sorry. He was number five. Name the four players ahead of him.
Okay. Four. Oh, man.
Jahlil Okafor?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to think of some other one and dones in that draft that might have been.
Are we taking turns or no?
Yeah, I think we're trading off, aren't we?
D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, nope.
Justice Winslow?
Nope.
Wow, okay.
Oh, who else is in that? Was Willie Cauley-Stein one of them?
He is not.
No, because he was he came out the same year as Cat, but he was like a He had been in Kentucky for a couple of years.
Oh,
he was like a junior, I think, when he came out. Wasn't D'Angelo Russell. That's interesting.
I can tell you that none of the names on this list are particularly intriguing.
Well, yeah, I mean, because Jahlil Okafor hasn't been very good. Was Jahlil number one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Who? I feel like there is someone.
I'll give you a clue on each player.
Okay.
One did not play college basketball. One is a player who's playing rotational minutes right now for a Eastern Conference team. And one player I don't think made it past a training camp roster on any team.
Ooh.
The player that did not go to college, committed to a college, but did not play.
Not. I was going to say Enes Kanter, but Enes Kanter has been in the league a long time.
Yeah.
He's a guard.
Oh, gosh. Why am I blanking?
I know. Like,
I'm trying to. I.
It was kind of like the Brandon Jennings path, wasn't it? A little bit?
He doesn't play. It is the same path, yeah. He doesn't play for the team that drafted him.
Oh.
Lottery pick.
Gosh, this is killing me. And you're going to say it, and I'm going to, like, bang my head against the wall in anger for not knowing it.
Drafted by a Western Conference team, was traded to an Eastern Conference team last year.
Dante Exum didn't get traded.
No, he didn't get traded.
I'm
just trying to think. See, I'm trying to think 2015 draft, but...
Honestly, I don't even know if I get it looking at the draft order. Maybe I would.
I'm going to give it to you. Ready?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. Traded from Denver to New York. Yeah, okay.
The next guy plays for an Eastern Conference team. And some people were surprised he wasn't part of a big deal that acquired them a power forward from a Western Conference team last year.
The plays for an Eastern Conference team. People were surprised he wasn't traded for a Western Conference power forward.
Mm-hmm. And that power forward has had some serious injuries in the past, but he's very good.
That's right. There are probably listeners like screaming at their device or whatever.
Yeah,
right,
probably.
Well, I will say it's incredibly hard to do a quiz and be on. I'm horrible at it. I'd much rather listen on the radio, and it's, of course you're going to be right because there's no pressure.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Far forward.
Why do I feel like this player is or was a Sixer?
The Sixers have had injury problems.
They're really making moves.
Oh, gosh. I'm stumped. I can't even.
Yeah.
Stanley Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think a lot of people were surprised that he wasn't part of that Clippers trade.
For Blake?
When Blake Griffin.
Honestly.
The last guy, the only clue I can really give you because I don't know enough about him is that he played for Kansas, I believe.
Oh, man, he's going to get this.
Kansas.
Or Manny has the best shot team.
Number four prospect.
But this is the guy that didn't even make it in the league, did he?
No, he's been on some like practice squads and training camp squads and summer league, but he's never, if he cracked the roster, I mean, he hasn't done anything notable.
Not like Frank, no, it's not Frank Mason. Not like Perry Ellis, is it?
Mm-mm. It is Cliff Alexander.
Oh, Cliff Alexander, that's right. I forgot about Cliff Alexander.
So did everybody.
Yeah.
So did the NBA.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I got one more for you.
Okay.
Whoever wants to answer this can. I don't think you'll get the answer, but who is Tyus Jones named after? It is a former basketball player. He played in the league for a little bit, probably most known for his college ball.
Oh, it's Tyus Edney, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Tyus Edney. That's right. That was the only
wild.
Yeah, wow, man. Tyus Edney. I remember the coast to coast to beat who were they playing? UCLA. When he went coast to coast and hit that shot at the buzzer. I think the game was played in Boise too. It was in like the second round for UCLA or something like that. But
I'll say that whoever updates Tyus Jones' Wikipedia page, they're doing a very good job. They talk about how he was a standout shortstop and quarterback. He's got somebody doing their due diligence on his wiki page.
I thought you would have asked Tyus that one. Like, hey, what's an interesting fact about you that people don't know? I'd be like, oh, his name for Tyus Edney. Like,
well, I remember seeing that in a program before, and then I saw it again today, and I was like, huh, I remember seeing that, but that's super weird. But yeah, I think everybody wins this contest.
Yeah, I think we all win.
Yeah.
Because we all got some right, and we all, like, butchered some, or we both, me and Derek both butchered a few, but, you know, we did pretty well.
It was fun. That's
Derek
the most part.
Derek tried to cheat.
Yeah, Derek tried to cheat.
What he does.
Trying to look up things and trying to cut
just
corners.
Like, it's grabbing jerseys, throwing bows in when you can. And
there are no shortcuts, Derek.
Do what it takes to win. Win at all costs.
All right, Kyle, thanks, man. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll have you on again soon here. Is season starting less than 2 weeks away. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting, to say the least.
It will be interesting. Yes, it will. Keep up the good work. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Kyle.
Kyle Radke joining us, quizzing us. I thought we did all right there.
I think so. I mean, those are actually pretty tough. I don't remember the last round being as difficult. Yeah, but, hopefully we can have him on, you know, once a month or so.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who listened to Raised by Wolves this week. Thanks to Kyle Radke for joining and quizzing us. And, yeah, lots to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. If Jimmy Butler gets traded, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. Sounds like Miami is pushing hard for it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You can find Raised by Wolves on Podcast One. You can find us at 1500ESPN.com as well. And, of course, on iTunes or wherever you find podcasts. For Derek James, I'm Manny Hill. Thanks to Kyle Radke again for joining us. And we will talk to you next time.